What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And it is Thanksgiving, 2013. And so we would like to revisit a past episode for you today.
That's right. It is one of the seven deadly sins, gluttony. And if you do not live here in the United States, or if you're just not celebrating Thanksgiving, just luxuriate in the fact that it is one of the seven deadly sins. And there's lots of really interesting information about food, diet, the way that your body responds to food.
Yeah, this was an episode that we did as part of our Seven Deadlies series, where we took each of the seven deadly sins and we looked at some of the scientific research behind that topic. Greed, wrath, lust, what have you. We hit all seven of them, and this was just one page. But it's one page that's definitely worth revisiting for the most gluttonous holiday, at least in the American tradition.
So we thought you guys might enjoy this today. Again, if you're in the United States, you're listening to us, and you're listening on Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. And thanks to everybody. We appreciate you. This is, if we were going around the dinner table right now, we'd say, I give thanks for our Stuff to Blow Your Mind listeners, because they're awesome.
It makes me think of, on Futurama, they have there's a robot called Hedonism Bot, and his legs are the legs of like a reclining chair. Mm-hmm. He's like in a reclining state with a bowl of grapes on his chest and has the very Roman air to him. But yeah, so gluttony is the sin that's typically associated with like massive consumptions of food, being really into food, mm-hmm. enormous feasts without end. And if we look to the pages of Dante's Divine Comedy, we see gluttony show up in both Inferno and Purgatory. In Inferno, the pit of eternal suffering at the center of the planet, we see a circle. This is the third circle, guarded by Cerberus, the three-headed dog. You know, the dog is a good symbol of gluttony. So in a dog with three mouths, that's like triple gluttony, right?
Yeah.
But in this circle, it's kind of interesting, because it's not what, if you're not familiar with Dante, it's not quite what you might imagine for a punishment of gluttons.
Okay. Bring it on.
All right.
Us.
So you have rain, hail, and snow falling, just like crazy rain, hail, and snow.
Okay.
All right. And it's just pummeling the gluttons who are just, they're just like held to the ground by it. And there's just mud everywhere. So they're wallowing like pigs in this mud that's kind of, that may or may not be excrement. There's, they're described in very dog-like terms. And so this is where the gluttons are punished.
But that is part of the human condition, right? And, Orson Welles says, gluttony is not a secret vice. You can see it all over you.
And on the surface, you know, we discussed in the past with the most recent one we did, envy, and we were talking about how envy is not a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Gluttony is one that, at least on the surface, seems a lot more fun because I mean, I don't know about you, but I really like food. Like, food is not just something I'm just kind of into. I really enjoy an excellent meal.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about the reason why we really, really enjoy it,
how
we're hardwired.
Yeah, and
to actually over-enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah, and the thing that gets me about gluttony is that there's this level of gluttony that we encounter in Inferno and in Purgatory, this medieval idea of just, you know, obsessive feasts and all this, but there's like a space-age level of gluttony that is only possible in this day and age. Like, it's a level of gluttony that was unimagined in Dante's time.
Well, exactly. And let's even say, like Henry VIII, right? That's someone who could afford to be gluttonous, right? Had a bunch of resources.
Yeah,
he was
a master glutton. I would imagine it's fair to say that.
I always think of him with like huge turkey legs in both hands, just waving them around. But in today's world, we can all be Henry VIII, right? I mean, gluttony is at our fingertips. Everything that we'd ever wanted, particularly food-wise, libations, is available.
You can at least be a glutton on as far as bad food goes.
You can, and you could actually be a professional glutton if you wanted to, and this would come into play in competitive eating.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, competitive eating. There are these different levels of your enjoyment of food. There's sort of like, I'm eating because I need nourishment for my body. And then there's this level of, I'm eating because I really enjoy these tastes and I enjoy the sensation of eating and I'm enjoying this on a purely sense level. But when you start looking at competitive eating, it seems devoid of either of those things. It is eating purely for the act of eating. Like, and you hear some comments like, one of the dudes we're going to talk about here says that he got into it because he really likes chicken. And that he really likes he likes the flavor of things, but still there's no way you're enjoying the flavor of like 38 hot dogs in a row, you know, and you're certainly not eating that for your well-being. It's something completely removed from those two necessities.
Well, it's eating to an absolute obsessive degree, to the nth degree.
Yeah.
And I think most people are familiar with Takeru Kobayashi.
Yes.
He is usually the person that you think of when you think about stuffing like 363 hot dogs in your mouth in under an hour and getting paid handsomely for it. But who the person we're going to talk about today, his name, he goes by El Wingador.
Wingador,
and just referred to him. His specialty is chicken wings. And there's a documentary film by Errol Morris called El Wingador. And
like a 7-minute deal.
Very long. It's actually it's worth checking out.
Yeah, we'll link to it on the blogs or on the Facebook.
But it focuses on this 5-time champion of the Philadelphia Wing Bowl, Bill Simmons, and how he prepares for these competitions is just insane.
Yeah, I would be tempted to classify him as a power glutton.
Yeah, a power. You can think about a power lifter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he has that kind of power lifter vibe, except he's only lifting things enough to stuff in his mouth.
Right, and stuff to a degree that
is just purely unholy.
Unholy, and they talk about this actually in the documentary to the extent that he says that he has almost accidentally eaten one of his digits, his fingers.
Yeah, like he says that he claims that his hands are covered with scars because he'll get so into the, I guess he's achieving flow. He's a transcendent experience for him. Mm-hmm. But it's to the point where he's biting his hands and leaving scars because he's eating chicken wings in this
he's
other
so,
state of mind.
Right, uber focused on this. Let's talk about how he trains.
Okay.
He eats 15 pounds of food a day when he's training, and he drinks 3 gallons of water a day, distending his stomach, right? That's the point of that. And 10 pounds of Tootsie Rolls a week.
Yeah, this was especially grotesque, because he's not just eating one and then swallowing it. No, he's throwing them in his mouth and forming them into a massive baseball-sized mass of Tootsie Rolls, a giant Tootsie Roll cud. Is that the word? Like a cow chews its cud?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
there's some vomiting involved there. He's not doing that, right?
Well, we don't really know.
Well, I mean, he's doing some vomiting, but not in this situation. So he's chewing these Tootsie Rolls up, and he has this baseball-sized mass in his mouth, and then he swallows that.
Right.
And he says it's all about, A, strengthening his jaws so that he can, you know, really chomp and chomp during these competitions, but also, like, widening his esophagus.
Right, right. Yeah. And he likens it to a snake swallowing a rat.
Yeah. He's like, you know, if you're eating for, you know, your own enjoyment, then you should totally chew your food. But competition, it's a different story. Like, chewing is for chumps.
Yeah, chewing is for chumps. And not only that, he's such a pro that when he masters this, he moves on to dog bones.
Yeah, yeah, like
masticating them.
Normal, and I'm equating a baseball made out of Tootsie Rolls as normal human food here, but this becomes just too mundane for him. So he moves on, to his dog's chew toys, and he ends up a 5 pound bag prior to competition.
That's, yeah, of rawhide bones.
Ugh.
Yeah, and he claims that he never gets full and that he feels that he has an eating disorder.
Yeah, because 5 pound bags of rawhide bones. Like, these are those, if you've ever been around a dog chewing one of these things, these are those things that the dogs chew, and it makes that loud clacking noise that makes your own teeth hurt. That's what this guy works on.
Yeah, yeah. And PopSci actually has a really interesting article on competitive eating, and they're talking about what actually happens when you're doing this to your body. And they say that muscles stretch when they relax, right, in the stomach. And when we eat a big meal, our stomach muscles relax so much that they send a message to the brain, which interprets the signal to mean, hey, you've got a full belly, that our brain stops us from eating anymore. That's what normally happens. But they say a good training regimen for competitive eating deadens this communication, causing the signal to the brain or the brain itself to become less responsive to the large volume of food. And this is according to Douglas Seidner, MD, Program Director for Clinical Nutrition at the Cleveland Clinic.
Huh, so it's kind of mind over matter.
Yeah, yeah, it's mind over matter.
Mind over burger.
Mind over anything that you eat yourself into a numbness and you deaden your urge to stop eating. Which is just incredible.
Incredible is one way to put it. El Wingador, he's pretty amazing. And he has some, or when he is, his, I'm not sure if he's active at the moment, but when he is active, sometimes he is accompanied to the eating platform, the gluttony ring, whatever you want to call it, by, he has valets who are called the Wingettes.
The Wingettes.
Yeah. So if anyone is particularly taken with this man, you can probably get in touch with him and see about becoming a Wingette.
And be one of his wing women.
Yes.
Yeah. And that, not only do they cheer for him, but they actually sort of are backup counters for him, right? Don't they sort of, from what I remember, they actually are counting the amount of food items that he's stuffing down his gullet.
Okay.
And helping to corroborate his win.
Because you're going to need somebody to keep track of that. I mean, like when I'm swimming or doing yoga, you know, it's like I can't keep track of how many laps or how many sun salutations I've done. It's like I need somebody else to tell me now we're on number 5 because I'm going to get it wrong. So
you need some lamettes.
Yeah. I need some lamettes to keep track.
But the reason why you bring up competitive eating is because this actually sort of informs the conversation on gluttony, and not only just gluttony, but obesity and how our body actually responds to eating. It's really pretty fascinating. Physician Jean Jack Wang of Brookhaven National Laboratory and his colleague Nora Volkow observed that obesity and drug addiction alter the same brain circuits. In their studies, Wang and Volkow found that both drug addicts and obese people are usually less sensitive to dopamine's rewarding effects. So, as we all remember, dopamine is a neurotransmitter and it delivers the high that we feel our brain perceives when we eat food, or we were to say if you have drug addict were to have some cocaine. So this means that both drug addicts and obese people have to chase after a stronger dose of food or drugs in order to get a decent bump of that dopamine.
Yeah, it's that whole chasing the dragon type thing. We've all heard examples of it. With like an extreme case like heroin, where you an individual have that first taste of heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be this amazing, just overpowering experience. But they never get that same experience again. Like, the rest of their lives then is assuming they... I mean, and hopefully they're able to get away from it. But if they don't, the rest of their lives is about chasing that high, chasing that dragon that they met that first time.
Right. And it's really interesting to see this in food and obesity and see that this increased or excessive stimulation just creates more desensitization with dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, again, that vicious circle kicks in and you've got increased desire and decreased payoff at the same time.
I have to say, I did have a really good brunch sandwich at this place. And they caught it in a Napoleon complex. I don't know why, but it had brie and bacon or Canadian bacon. I'm not sure, fig spread, and it was on this really nice toasted bread. The first time I had it, it was amazing. And then I went back to have it again, and it was all right. And then each time it's a little further removed from that original experience. So that's my own meager comparison to that.
Was the sandwich on stilts or something?
No.
I'm just trying to figure out why they're calling it the Napoleon.
I don't know. It's really... one time I had to order it, and there was a short person at the table, and it was really kind of weird, because I was like, I'll have that sandwich.
And you just made it even more
Yeah, and then
sandwich.
It became even more of a thing.
And then the server was like, what sandwich? That sandwich. Oh, the Napoleon? The really short one?
When we
serve on stilts to make it feel better?
It would be cool if it were on stilts. But
yeah. Well, yeah.
My point is the sandwich was dope. In that it actually...
Dopamine.
Dopamine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nicely done. So Wang looks into this problem of obesity and addiction, and he actually asked some of his volunteers in a study to come hungry.
Oh, is this the torture experiment?
It's horrible. He asked them to describe their favorite meals while he heats up that meal in a nearby microwave so that the waft of the smell of the Napoleon sandwich is clearly being transmitted to their brains. And then they show a PET scan of the volunteers' brains during this whole process, and they see that the motivation part of their brain goes nuts.
Yeah.
Okay? And then the orbital frontal cortex, which is implicated in decision-making, also lights up. And then they find that in the brains of obese people, the regions that regulate sensory information from the mouth and the tongue are even more active than other people. And they figure out that sensory processing is elevated. This is the, ooh, that tastes good part, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reward sensitivity is lower.
See, now this reminds me a lot of our podcast about children and Halloween candy and about how children experience sugar in a kind of different sensory realm than adults do, than most adults do. And this experiment really highlights this idea that that obese individuals or individuals with this sort of with this heightened appetite, they are experiencing the food in a different way, which I think is a helpful way to look at it, because it's easy for someone to look at someone else's problems with food and or weight and say, oh, what's the matter with you? Why can't you control yourself? Why don't you eat just one slice of pizza instead of four? But if you think of it in terms of a different sensory experience, it becomes harder to really have that kind of judgmental attitude, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, understanding that the brain is actually getting rewired
so
that it has less control in these situations. And in fact, this was explored even more by a New York Times article called The Fat Trap. And what they found is that weight loss and weight control depends, of course, on the simple equation of eat less and exercise more, right? But for some people, it's a lot more complicated, right? So we talked about the brain being changed in that instance. They were talking in this article, The Fat Trap, about something called post-diet syndrome. And it's essentially a state that your body enters once it's lost at least 10% of its body weight.
Yeah.
It becomes biologically altered. It's really fascinating. There's a guy named Joseph Proietto, and he's a physician at the University of Melbourne. And he kept wondering why his really, really motivated and committed patients would gain back at least 11 pounds of the, on average, 30 pounds that they had lost. And these guys were, super diligent. The patients that he was working with, they had food diaries, they still exercised, they did all of this stuff, and they were on a low-calorie diet, essentially, at first. But, they followed up with him for a full year, and he kept thinking to himself, why do they keep gaining this back? And journalist Tara Parker Pope, who wrote The Fat Trap, started to think about this, too, in the context of her own life.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to look at all these different factors that could be responsible for the inevitability of weight gain.
All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more gluttony.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
All right, we're back talking about the post-diet syndrome.
Yeah.
The body has realized that something is amiss and it's trying to replenish the stores.
Right.
And it breaks down in some interesting ways. The researchers found that there's a gastric hormone called ghrelin, often dubbed the hunger hormone, and it's about 20% higher. There's another hormone associated with suppressing hunger called peptide double Y, and it also ends up leveling out pretty low. Levels of leptin, a hormone that suppresses hunger and increases metabolism, also remain lower than expected. And then you have a whole host of other hormones that are associated with hunger metabolism, and they're all significantly changed compared to pre-dieting levels.
Yeah, it's a sort of cocktail that cocktails of hormones that get messed with in this post-diet state, right? Mm-hmm. So that ghrelin is 20% higher, that hormone that tells you that you're hungry. So you're 20% more activated in terms of like, hey, I'm feeling kind of hungry in your post-diet scenario. And again, the leptin and the peptide YY are both decreased. And those are the things that help suppress your appetite. Another odd finding is that in some post-diet subjects, muscle fibers were acting like slow-twitch muscles. And slow-twitch muscles are actually responsible for less burned calories. So you're seeing this other weirdness happening in the post-diet scenario. And then there's, again, going back to the brains of post-dieters. They were studied by researchers Rudolf Leibel and Michael Rosenbaum at Columbia University. And fMRI was used to track the brain patterns of people before and after weight loss while they looked at objects like grapes, gummy bears, chocolate, broccoli, cell phones, and yo-yos, just to put in a couple of non-food items, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after weight loss, when the dieter looked at food, the scan showed a bigger response in the parts of the brain associated with reward and a lower response in the areas associated with control. Again, that's the same thing that we were talking about before. And the implication is that the body induces cravings by making the person feel more excited about food and giving him or her less willpower to resist a high-calorie treat. The body wants to reset at the higher weight.
Huh.
So, I mean, how this actually susses out is that it really gives someone who's in a post-diet scenario a caloric disadvantage. And what I mean by that is that you could be subject A, for instance, who is 230 pounds, and you're eating 3,000 pounds, or 3,000 pounds, that's a lot. That's even more than El Wingador. 3,000 calories a day. But then you drop down to 190. And in order to maintain a weight of 190 pounds, you eat 2,300 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
Your counterpart, who has not been in a dieting scenario, who weighs 190 pounds, actually could have 250 to 400 calories more per day than you to just maintain their weight. So that's what this is. This is how this is all sort of shuffling out, is that, you know, when you're in this post-diet state, which, by the way, could last up to 6 years, your body really is not going to burn as many calories and automatically wants you to reset, as opposed to your counterpoint who isn't dieting at that same weight. So you have to burn more and more calories. And this, I think, is the sticking point of why people continue to creep up on the scales throughout their lives or yo-yo diet. Because your body is sort of working against you.
Yeah, and it really becomes an issue of, like, sort of me versus body, and which is kind of a false idea, because we are our bodies, and as we discussed before, what our gut's doing affects what our brain is doing to a level that you can't just cut one off from the other. But it's also not this situation of I am, you know, this is all about me, I am going to lose this weight. It becomes this me and what I want versus the needs of my body and the sort of the ideas of my body.
And it's not our body just trying to be terrible to us. I mean,
right.
This
I mean,
is just sort of how we evolved, right? Like, we have these, you know, big, thick brains that require a lot of energy. It's sort of like the Firefox of browsers, right? It takes up a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that we have gluttony hardwired into us, because at some level we need it. Our brain evolved for us to eat in excess in order to survive.
Yeah, I mean, we live in an environment now that is rather far removed from what we originally evolved into, where we can go and we can, and most of our listeners anyway, you're in a position where you could go out today and you could probably eat just as much as you possibly wanted to. There's nothing that would stop you. And,
right.
And our bodies aren't really evolved to deal with that.
Right. Our bodies aren't.
Neither
like,
are
oh,
our brains.
We,
really.
We didn't know that buckets of chicken were just available for, you know, at the drive-thru. We
yeah.
thought we had to forage for this stuff.
Now, did we mention this, that El Wingador, that Errol Morris originally shot the video as an extra because he was shooting a promotional video for KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken?
We didn't, but yeah, talk about that.
And,
that's fascinating.
And so he was like, this is the dude. Because, I mean, I guess this was, I forget the exact time frame, but I guess this was in that era of the Double Down, where KFC is like unhealthy food for the win. Let's you know, market it this way.
Yeah.
So Morris is like, this is the dude. This is the patron saint of Double Down. So he shoots this video with him, and he's like, this dude is so interesting. This is such a fascinating glimpse into really the heart of gluttony. My words, not his. He had to shoot this 10-minute extra where he's just talking to Wingador about it.
And I love that. And as you had mentioned earlier when we were talking about this, that he got to see him in action
yeah.
with the wings. Getting his glutton chops on.
Glutton chops, yeah. Which is, I guess, what you call the smears of orange hot wing sauce that are on the side of your face when you're fully engorging yourself on chicken wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a vegetarian, I can say I've never had glutton chops.
Are there?
I might have had soy glutton chops.
Are there soy-based or do you think there are vegetarian or vegan eating competitions?
No. But, you know, again, if someone's out there and they want to explore that, there you go. There's an idea.
Yeah.
I think it's just sort of antithetical to the whole vegetarian vegan thing.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though.
No, I think it tends to be.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
So let's talk about the future of gluttony, because there's always a future for gluttony.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, we've reached the space age of gluttony with eating competitions, but I think humans could be grosser. I think we have it in ourselves to do more.
Well, I think that, you know, there's the possibility that we could actually create the vomitorium. Right, we used to think that in Roman times that there was something called a vomitorium that we'd eat in excess.
And they did. There was a vomitorium, but it was not a place where you throw up your food so you can eat more. It was just an architectural flourish, I believe.
Yeah, that people mistook for like this big communal place where you just threw up after you.
Yeah, which is a fabulous gluttonous idea that doesn't exactly exist.
But in the future, we might actually be able to manage food in a way that we could overeat. And in a way, get rid of all of this excess. And that is through leptin. Again, we talked about leptin as being something that could, that is very helpful in appetite suppression. And scientists at Columbia University have conducted several small studies looking at whether injecting people with leptin can override the body's resistance to weight loss and help maintain a lower weight. And this says that in a few small studies, leptin injections seem to trick the body into thinking it's still fat. And after leptin replacement, and this is really interesting, study subjects burned more calories during activity. And in brain scan studies, leptin injections appeared to change how the brain responds to food, making it seem less enticing.
So you would like stick a syringe of leptin in one end and a meatball sub in the other. and and they would balance each other out.
Right. They just cancel each other out. But of course, this is a sort of a new treatment and not something that's been widely studied and is probably years away for use.
Right. Yeah. I should have gone for cheesesteak. Why did I go for meatball? Cheesesteak is much grosser.
Do you think that's more gluttonous than meatball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, they're basically
the
same. Both are lots of meat and some cheese on giant pieces of bread. But there's something about the cheesesteak that's a little viler.
I guess maybe because it's protein on protein.
I guess.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a show I was watching, and it was like they were profiling these different chefs and their favorite foods in different cities. And like every city has its own cheesesteak. I feel like I've done this rant before, but I have a thing against cheesesteaks. Yeah.
All right. I think we're going to have a Science of Cheesesteaks podcast coming up. Here's another thing that is on the cusp of our understanding and perhaps harnessing this information, something called brown fat,
which
are fat cells that consume calories and release heat.
Yeah, and if you're not driving or riding a bicycle or anything like that, you can probably reach up around your neck. And you can sort of feel yourself a little brown fat, right? Because that's where the human body tends to store it.
Oh, doing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have a nice little padding there. It is important because researchers actually think that this could help turn white fat into brown fat, and you could actually burn more calories. And you could possibly do this by exercising. They have seen in subjects that exercise can create brown fat out of white fat.
Yeah, and this brown fat is remarkable because rather than storing excess energy, the fat actually burns through it.
Right.
Yeah, and previously we kind of only thought that it was like a rodent or human newborn thing. Rats are babies.
Yeah.
They were the only ones who were really that into it. And generally, if you would see a lot of brown fat in a human, an adult human, it meant that there was some sort of health ailment going on that unbalanced things.
Yeah, but they have a much better understanding. And this is only like 3 years old information, right?
Right, yeah, we're still figuring it out.
Yeah, they even figured out that brown fat exists in adult humans. And again, to go back to the rodents, at first, they thought, okay, well, rodents can't shiver and they use brown fat to keep warm. And so do human infants who also don't shiver very well. And then they thought, well, once humans lose their brown fat after infancy, the shivering response kicks in and we no longer have a use for the brown fat. And that is not true. They actually found that younger women have more brown fat than, say, older men. Thinner people have more brown fat than larger people. So they're still trying to figure it out and figure out how to actually manipulate it for our own use.
But it's one of those things that could be problematic, though, because the people who have the most active brown fat are generally individuals with cancer or hyperthyroidism. So.
Right. And again, hyperthyroidism and cancer, assuming that you probably have whittled down to a weight that's not that is no longer healthy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this got its limits, but that could be an interesting future in terms of fighting off gluttony.
Another possibility, this would be far future, and I feel like I've mentioned this example before, but in Ian M. Banks' culture series, the denizens of the culture who, they've been genetically advanced to the point where they can release random drug-like chemicals into their body just by thinking about them. They have these, the benevolent robots that look after them, but they can also bypass food or beverage. So, like if an individual wants to have another cocktail but doesn't want to feel the effects of that cocktail, they can bypass it straight through. Well, not straight through.
Well, would it be the effects of that cocktail later on? I mean, you still want to hit the reward center, right?
I think you would get the taste. It would be like chewing a food and then spitting it out. Or I guess it would be they would get like a little bit of the, I got the impression it was like, I want to enjoy this food, but I don't want to actually digest it. And I don't, or I want to enjoy this beverage, but I don't want to actually take any of the alcohol into my system. So it's like they have a separate line just for purely recreational food and beverage.
I like that. So it's like two different digestive systems in a way.
Yeah.
Although the one digestive system doesn't really work.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think how we can fit this into our own little worldview in the future, like the possibility of having two different digestive systems.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there are other possibilities, too, in terms of the future of gluttony. Like, imagine being able to plug yourself into a virtual environment where you just eat all you want.
Yeah, right? would that sate you? I wonder if that would kick in, again, with the reward center and dopamine, if that would be released
in
that situation.
Maybe. It's such a far future possibility. Yeah. Like, you would have to, and we would be talking more than just, like, strapping in some goggles and some haptic gloves and, going through a city made out of cheeseburgers. You would have to have a much more like neurologically plugged in system for that to take place. And by that point, who knows what else we'd have figured out.
Well, and then do you think in that realm that more people would become competitive eaters? That's my question.
Maybe, but it would be a crazy, like the competition would just be off the charts. I mean, how would you even clock that? I don't know.
Somehow, some way.
Interestingly enough, you know, this will come out like a couple of weeks later, but we were recording this on Ash Wednesday. Before a lot of people go into like some sort of Lenten fasting or saying, I'm not going to eat fried foods except on feast days, kind of a thing. So
that's kind of perfect.
Yeah. So, well,
talking about sins and Lent and gluttony.
So there you have it, a little slice of Stuff to Blow Your Mind past to have with those three slices of pie that you had for Thanksgiving dinner dessert. We hope that the information helps you to understand the gluttony that you partook of today, or help you to understand the gluttony that you dodged, but inevitably someone you know indulged in. If you want to find us, you want to talk to us about this topic and others, you can head on over to StuffToBlowYourMind.com. That's where you'll find all seven of those Seven Deadlies episodes. They're there for your listening pleasure, including this one. If you want to listen to it in its original format, hey, go for it. You can also find our blogs. You can find our videos, all that stuff, StuffToBlowYourMind.com. You can also find us on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and also Google+. All those things. Just look for Stuff to Blow Your Mind. You'll find us.
That's right. And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.